Hello, everyone. Welcome to Just Getting By for Monday, September 19th, 2011. My name is Craig Jones, and I am joined, as always, by Chemslave. Hello, Chemslave.
Howdy, Craig.
It's an exciting time for us in the show, isn't it?
Is it?
Yes, it is. You are such a killjoy. You really are. I swear to God. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a fantastic future ahead of us. And so give us your feedback. Email us at feedback@justgettingbypodcast.com if you have any suggestions about how we can improve the site, make it easier to navigate, or if you have any suggestions for the show itself. So I just wanted to get that out there up front. We will keep, advertising the website. That is where we have the show notes. So just head over there and take a look. I think it's a nice site. I'm proud of it.
Yeah, it's looking really nice.
Yep. All right, so we have we got a pretty heavy story, Chemslave. Pretty heavy story. It's not going to be all sunshine and lollipops today.
Because is there any time it's sunshine and lollipops, Craig?
Well, evidently not for you. you don't seem to have a whole lot of time for sunshine and lollipops. But really, this isn't. We're going to be talking about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
Oh joy
is right. You see, we have a pretty important time coming. This upcoming week, the Palestinian Authority, the government of the Palestinian territories, is going to be applying for full membership in the UN, which would basically be tantamount to recognizing statehood for Palestine. Now, Chemslave, do you have any idea why that might not be the best thing for Israeli-Palestinian relations?
Not really, no. Because it's like, why shouldn't they become a state?
Well, you see, that's the issue, isn't it? Why shouldn't Palestine become a state? The problem is, a state needs to have boundaries, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
You can't have some amorphous entity be a state. And by state, we're using the political science kind of elitist definition of state, and that is a political unit with a predetermined political system and predetermined boundaries. A state implies sovereignty, meaning that they are free and independent of any foreign power, at least legally. And really, the Palestinian territories fail on almost every single one of those counts. They are not a state yet. This is only a half-hour podcast. So I can't, and we have another story to do too, so I can't go into the deep, deep history of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. But let me just say quickly that in 1967, there was a war in Israel where Israel was attacked by Egypt, Syria, Iraq, and I believe Lebanon. And Israel just obliterated all of those armies. They just wiped the floor with everybody that attacked them. It was an embarrassing defeat for everybody, especially Egypt, which was the predominant power in the region at the time. And over the course of Israel defeating those armies, they occupied the territories that belonged to the Palestinian Authority. And even up until today, the Palestinian territories that you see on a map, such as the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, You know those little portions of Israel that are colored differently?
Oh, the dotted lines.
Yeah, the dot, exactly, yes. Those are so dotted because Israel is occupying that territory. They have been building settlements in that territory, and they view that territory as legally theirs. Whereas the Palestinians view that territory, and quite frankly, many of them view all of Israel as rightfully theirs. And there are issues on both sides of that debate. We're not going to get into that. That's a far different topic. But the fact of the matter is, Israel and Palestine are far from agreeing on what the boundaries are for Israel and Palestine. To give you an example, Israel and the Palestinian Authority both want Jerusalem to be their capital. And Israel has always been very adamant, and the Palestinian Authority as well, that Jerusalem cannot be split. That it's all or nothing. So, even in terms of who's going to have what capital, there is a disagreement. So, to say that the Palestinian territories qualify as a state is troublesome on many, many levels. There are Arab settlements, Palestinian settlements in Israel, and Israeli settlements in the Palestinian territories. It's a very muddy, murky topic. So, to give the Palestinian Authority statehood arbitrarily would have a lot of unforeseen, or at least messy, complications for the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And it could, in fact, push Israel and Palestine and the other countries in the region towards war.
Aren't they already in that state already, so...
Well, they're always in that state. But I mean, they're always close to war. I'm saying it could push them into war. Now, given what I just said, what do you think about this story? You know, given that background that I just gave you.
Well, this whole topic is a very heavy topic, as you stated before. It's one of those things where if you have two people that are very entrenched in their beliefs, one way or the other, you can have them arguing for days, like months on end, years on end, like about who's right, who's wrong. Truthfully, I try to stay away from this topic when I'm even reading the news. I normally just go, oh, okay, next. It's one of those things that I don't really know what to think about. I'm like, we should maybe have the UN come in and say, okay, this is this land, this is this land. Let's sort of compromise in what's going to happen. But that's never going to happen, or if it does, both sides are going to, in perpetuity, are going to be disagreeing on this. It's one of those topics that I really don't know what to think. If I was like, if let's go into the fantasy world, I would gladly sort of take this, like, that portion of, like, of the world and sort of put it off into a different, like, parallel universe. Let them deal with it themselves.
You're absolutely right. It's a messy issue. It is a messy issue. So, it's an important issue. That's why I brought it up. And it has implications for the history and future development of the region and the world. Because the United States is going to veto Palestinian statehood. That is guaranteed. But if the United States is in the position where they have to veto Palestinian statehood, they are going to severely strain the relations with some very key Middle Eastern allies, not the least of which is Saudi Arabia. And that is why this is an important topic. All right, so do you have anything else to add on this?
Not at all. Nothing.
All right, I think you have a story, don't you?
I always have a story. Well, almost always. Well, perusing my my RSS feeds, I found a story about an Italian court ruling that a couple is quote unquote too old to raise a child. So, an Italian court ruled that 70 and 57 year old parents are too old to raise a toddler. Instead, the court recommended that the 18-month girl should be put up for adoption because, quote unquote, they are not able to raise it. When I've known people who were raised by their grandparents, and what's so wrong about that?
Well, you see, this is a situation where I see both sides of the issue. I think that a 70-year-old person raising a young child, a baby at that, you know, that person is not going to be alive 10, 15, 20 years in the future. It's just, I mean, they might, but, you know, the odds are not there.
The odds aren't there for all of us, Craig. We're all going to die sometime. Even I was almost in a head-on collision because some douchebag decided to, get into my lane. There's a possibility that you're going to die.
Well, yeah, but the possibility is far greater when you are 85 than when you're 20.
Of course, one parent is 57, and
yeah, I see that.
They still have a
but you know,
bit of life left.
Just let me explain my position here, because in the end, I agree with you. That it shouldn't really matter, and if these people are willing to provide a stable, loving home for this child, they should be able to. But let me just say how I can see both sides of the issue, because when you are a certain age, it is unlikely that you will be there to hand your daughter off to be married, or to help your son buy his car, or help and buy a home for your kid. When you are a certain age, you cannot possibly expect to be as energetic and vital to keep up with a precocious toddler, you know, or child, teenager. When you're a certain age, the odds of you dying or being incapacitated in some way, even if it's just from arthritis or dementia or something, are so much higher. I think very strongly that it is selfish for people to purposely, you know, procreate at a old age, like men fathering children in their 70s, adopting somebody whom they have no prior connection with. But even so, I do not believe that it is the right of a court to tell these people that they cannot adopt this child. It is contrary to my very belief in limited government that a court should be able to say to a family that you cannot create a loving and stable home for a child who would otherwise grow up in an orphanage, always wanting for attention. So I certainly see both sides of the issue. And your example of grandparents raising the child is not unusual, but it is also not what I'm referring to. Because in the event that a grandparent needs to raise the child, that means something has happened in the lives of the parents to make them unwilling or unable to support the child themselves. In which case, it is always preferable to keep the child with family than to put it in an orphanage or to put the child with a foster family. So,
yes, but we don't see them raising that child as being negative It's like, oh, yeah. The,
well, it is, it is negative, but as a matter of fact, there is a stigma about being raised by grandparents. Because the implication is that your parents were not able to raise you. Especially if your parents are still alive. And also, if your grandparents are old enough, that is also a negative for the reasons I already outlined. But is the lesser of, you know, of multiple evils, putting the child into an orphanage where it will not have the attention it needs, or putting it with a foster family who had no prior connection. Keeping it with the family is always preferable, as long as the grandparents are able to, you know, support the child. So I view that as a totally different issue than this case. But even so, at the end of the day, like I said, I do agree with you. The court has no right to say to these people that they cannot raise this child. I just think that from a feasibility point of view, from a numbers point of view, that it is unfair to the child to, you know, put her, in this case, a her, to put her in the situation where relatively soon in the future she's going to have to witness an inevitable decline in her guardians.
See, my one friend, her father, like, had a tumor, and a few years ago, when we were, like, I think in 7th grade, he passed away. So, should we maybe even think, okay, well, some people get tumors, should they, we also start working things into, like, oh, they shouldn't be raising a child, because who knows when the hell they're gonna die.
Wait a second, no, I take offense to that, actually. That annoys me. You know very well that there are so many things that could happen to anybody at any age. That's not what I'm talking about. When you get to be a certain age, when you're 70, the odds of you contracting an illness or developing an illness that could lead to, you know, a stroke or even arthritis or, you know, limited mobility, maybe loss of memory, are so much greater. I mean, it's inevitable when you get to be that age. Whereas, yes, you know, one of my best friends in high school almost had to have his leg amputated because of a cancerous tumor in his knee. There was a time that we thought he might die. Yes, you know, yeah, things happen to people of a certain age, of any age. Babies die for various reasons. People our age can die for various reasons. Everybody can die for a plethora of reasons. But the point is that you assume that they will be, you know, fine. That you know, when you're a certain age, there is the expectation that, you know, you are unlikely, at least statistically, encounter a fatal illness. Whereas when you're 70, I'm sorry, when you're 70, you do not have as much time in front of you as you do when you're 20, or 30, or 40, or 50, even. I think it's a cheap shot to say, to give the example of the tumor, or some, you know, multiple sclerosis, or anything like Parkinson's disease, anything that can pop up at any time. Yeah, that stuff happens, I absolutely agree with you. But when you're a senior citizen, when you qualify to be called elderly, that comes with a certain baggage. Senescence, the physical aging process dictates that. It doesn't matter what your history has been beforehand. When you reach a certain age, your health will start to decline.
Well, that is true. But what if you have a family history, let's say, of X disease or Y disease, where then you sort of like, oh yeah, well, the chances of someone in my family of living to X age are very small, then should that...
Well, that's not possible. That's not possible. But if your genetic line is so embattled, that the odds are against you that you will have offspring, that you will live to maturity, that you will live to a certain age, then your family line would have died out a long time ago. This is the idea of evolution and passing your genes from one generation on to another, and those with less fit genes will eventually die off. What we're talking about, Andrew, is the idea that you have a 1% chance of having a heart attack or a stroke, as opposed to, you know, a 50% chance of having arthritis at 70. In most civilized countries, the age expectancy for a man is 79 to 80. 10 years after the age of the 70-year-old person in this article, that baby would be 11. Given and statistically, at 11. That person could expect to have at least one guardian pass away. That's the difference between that and a couple in their 30s or 40s or 20s deciding to start a family. Yes, bad things can happen to the younger couple. Absolutely. And everybody has cancer in their background. Everybody has heart disease in their background if you go back far enough. Everybody even has mental illness like suicide or depression, if you go back far enough. But at 70, you start to have the years catch up to you.
Yeah, I agree with you on that point. So let's just agree to disagree on the minutia and leave this story be.
All right, then. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I told you that today was going to be a heavy story. And, not a heavy story, but a heavy couple of stories. It was going to be a heavy day for stories, and I did not disappoint. We did not disappoint, did we, Chemslave?
I don't think we did.
Yeah, that was certainly one of the more feisty ones we've had. With the exception of the lost 10th episode.
I don't think anything much happened on that one.
at least not for public consumption, it didn't. So if you have any suggestions whatsoever as to how we could tweak the show or the website, please email us at feedback@justgettingbypodcast.com. Again, that is feedback@justgettingbypodcast.com. And all that being said, we will return on Wednesday for a far less acrimonious show, I promise. Until that time, have a good day, Chemslave.
Have a great day to you too, Craig.